Monday, the 13th of October, Erev Sukkah, Rabbi Shimon Gervitz, the essence of Sukkah.
In order to come to a clear understanding as to what the Yisoid of any Yom Tov is, one has to look at the clear, the Torahs, and the various mitzvot hayoyim. And these are all clues which allow us to come to an understanding as to what is the essence of the Yom Tov. Now looking at that Torah on Chag HaSukkah, one finds something very interesting which I think needs explanation. That Torah on Shabbat Chol HaMoed deals exclusively with the Mokoma of Goig Umogog. Mokhemet Goig Umogog, that's that Torah on Shabbat Chol HaMoed Sukkah. And in truth, if you have a look at that Torah with the Meforoshim on the first day of Sukkot, it also is in reference to Melchemes Goig Umogog. And two of that Torahs on Chag HaSukkot deal with the Melchemes Goig Umogog. What relevance does Melchemes Goig Umogog have with Chag HaSukkot? What's the Shaykhah? That's one thing we have to understand. Looking at the Kriyas on Shabbat Chol HaMoed, we have Kriyas Megillas Kehelas. We read the Megillas Kehelas on Shabbat Chol HaMoed. And there again we have to understand what's the connection between Kehelas and Sukkot. It's a wonderful Megillah, but how does it connect with Chag HaSukkot? That's discussed by various Mefarshim, and I found that Rabbi Chaim Friedlander, the Chassadik Livroch in his Sefer Sifrei Chaim, he already asks what's the connection between Megillas Kehelas and Chag HaSukkot, and we'd like to draw on his words in Mitzvah Hashem. He quotes a psikta, which is also very interesting. The psikta brought down Yalkut Shemoni in Parashat Emor says as follows. He says that Klal Yisrael on Sukkot go into their sukkot, and it's Chas V'Sholem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed a Gzeiras Golus on Klal Yisrael, or on any individual for that matter, they can be Yotza the Chayvus Golus by going into the Golus of Sukkot. The psikta. Going into the golus of Sukkah is the equivalent of the psikta says golus bodom. And he says, and this is the remark he makes when he brings down the scepter, how can you call such a sweet golus a golus? And the truth is, if we think about it a bit further, one can ask more questions. I mean, I was wondering, thinking about the sort of sukkahs we have nowadays, internal constructions, centrally heated, can we really equate that sort of construction with Golas Bodel? Are we takiyotzim into sukkah with those sorts of sukkahs? If sukkah is supposed to be representative of Golas Bodel, how does it actually fit in with the sort of construction we have nowadays? And also, we find in Halacha the concept of noy sukkah, beautifying a sukkah, kelim noyim. If it's a Golas, how does this fit in with beautifying the sukkah if it's supposed to represent a Golas? We have to understand, how does the Golas aspect of sukkah fit in with the practicalities that we have? And before I come to quote some of the words of Rabbi Chaim Friedlander, I'd like to be maktim a well-known question which the Rishonim speak about already. The Pasuk says in Parashat Emor that we sit in sukkah. Why do we sit in sukkah? Ki b'sukkah is a shabti es ne yisrael b'si yoisam me'yeret Mitzrayim. Because when we went out of Mitzrayim, we sat in the sukkah. The question is obvious. When did we go out of Mitzrayim? We went out of Mitzrayim in Chodesh Nisan. In reality, one would expect that sitting in a sukkah should take place in Chodesh Nisan. Why do we have the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah in Chodesh Tishri? And I think one of the best known terutzim is the terutz of the Torah. Torah says as follows, that Pesach time Nisan is when is the advent of the beginning of the spring and the summer, when the weather's beginning to warm up, and it's natural for people to go from their houses out into their outhouses, out into the cooler areas, and therefore if we would go out to our sukkahs at that point in time, it wouldn't be evident that we were going out of the house to shame mitzvah. Mashenk in sukkah's time is when people are beginning to move back into their houses. It's the beginning of winter, things are starting to get colder, people are moving back into their houses, and if we then go and move out into our outhouses, into cooler rooms, this demonstrates quite clearly that we're going out, the Shem Mitzvah, the Shem Hashem, that's the well-known teretz of the Torah. The Rashbam gives a different teretz. The Rashbam says as follows, that Sukkot is also known as Chag Ha'otis. Why is it known as Chag Ha'otis? Because this is the time when the harvest is completed. We complete the harvest around Sukkot time. Says the Rashbam, a person at that point in time faced a great spiritual danger. Comes Chag HaSukkot, his barns are full, his storage areas are full of fruit, he's got an abundance of tvua enough to last him throughout the year, he's worked hard at it, and he can get the feeling, oh, I've taken care of myself, I've produced, I'm in charge, I'm in control. It's the terrible danger. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, go out into your sukkah. Don't stay at home. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam gain by sending us out of out into our sukkah? Because by going into the sukkah, this is the Rashbam, we remember. Ki besukkah tishavti es bnei Yisrael, bo yitzi oitom, me'eretz Yisrael. 1 second. We once upon a time avodim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out into the Midbar. How do we survive in the Midbar? Where do we get our water from? Where do we get our food from? What protected us? This brings us back in time and brings us to the realization that the Emes and the Ribbono Shel Olam is the only one that protects us. As the Ribbono Shel Olam fed and clothed us in the Midbar, that's in truth what's happening today. So the antidote, the way to combat the feelings of Kvechi Vaitim Yodi is to recall the Yitzias Mitzrayim, to recall those days in the Midbar, and by doing so, we can come to the realization that the Emes and Hashem Hu, Elokim, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimlech Veidon Void. These are the words of the Rashbam. And the Rashbam actually backs it up with Psukim in Parshat Ekev. In Parshat Ekev we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us, V'zachalte kol adelech asher licha Hashem Elokecha zeh aboim shona. Remember the whole process of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why? Ki Hashem Elokecha miviecha le'tzeva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. V'malto bilvolcha koichi v'yitzim yodi also li'et achayla zeh. You'll be comfortable in Eretz Yisrael. You'll have everything you have. And you'll come, you'll have the feeling, take away to the Yodi, Osleh Tachayel Azeh, that the Chaos of Hashem Leikecha, by remembering, you see it with time, you're remembering, you'll remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Hu Hanoit Lecho Koyach La'asoyis Choyel. Those are the Psukim in Parshat Ekev, which Rashbam makes reference to demonstrate why we have Sukkah in Chag HaOsis. So in fact, says the Rashbam that Sukkah is there in order to combat the feelings of Kechi Vaitim Yodi Osleh Tachayel Azeh, in order to bring a person to the realization that the Ribbono Shel Olam is manik kol ha'olam kulay. Now this idea, which we've seen in the Rashbam, that Chaim Friedlander actually speaks out in relevance to the Schach. The Schach, the commanded to place upon our heads as a roof, is one isn't allowed to take it from the actual produce. One cannot use fruit. One cannot use grains. One's only allowed to use the psoilas, goyim, the yekev, the twigs, the leaves, the useless part, of what we view as the useless part of what's produced when our fields and our vineyards grow. So the Chaim Friedlander, why is that? Wouldn't the sukkah look more beautiful, more majestic, if we could adorn it and use it as chach, the useful part of what grows in our fields? So the Chaim Friedlander knows. So the reason why we go into the sukkah and we use Pseudus Gerum the Yekav of Tzchach is to impress upon us that it's not the fruit that sustains us, and it's not the tvor that sustains us, it's not the produce of our field that in fact sustains us. We take what we regard as the rubbish and we place it over our heads, and this is our protector. Why is it our protector? Because it's placed there by Mitzvah Hashem. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us to place it there, that is our protector. In truth, the Ribbono Shel Olam is our protector. It's not the fruit, it's not the grains, it's not the grapes, it's not what's produced. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our protector. We take away the roof from our house, and we place there the Pseudus Gerem Yekev as our protector. And the protector is in fact the fact that this is Mitzvah Hashem. In the sense of Chaim Friedlander, with this we can understand the Psikta, the equivalent between Sukkah and Golus. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu send us into Golus? What's one of the primary reasons why Klal Yisrael was sent into Golus for us? The reason is, one of the reasons is good for because Klal Yisrael, in a given time, they become to feel comfortable, self-confident, and they forget that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge. They become haughty, they gain within themselves the feelings of self-sufficiency, and they forget that they've got to be dependent totally on the Ribbono Shel Olam. There are times when the Ribbono Shel Olam has to send us into Golus in order that we should realize that we're not self-sufficient, in order that we should realize that in fact there is another power which is controlling our destinies. It's not ourselves that are really in control. And Golus brings that home to us. Sukkah teaches us the same lesson that Golus is there to teach us. Sukkah, by going out into the Sukkah and placing the Pseudos Gerim V'Yekev above our heads, by placing what to us is rubbish, is nothing at all, and placing that above our heads, our protector, we are learning that lesson that we are not self-sufficient. We cannot look after ourselves, we cannot protect ourselves. In fact, it's the mitzvot Hashem, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam that's our protector. Hashem wa elokim einoid muvadoi, and we have no other source of protection. The lesson of Golus and the lesson of Sukkah is one and the same. So the Golus of Sukkah isn't because Sukkah is uncomfortable. The Golus of Sukkah isn't because Sukkah is a difficult place to be in. Just the opposite. Sukkah is a very, very beautiful place to be. The Golus of Sukkah is that the lesson of Sukkah and the lesson of Golus are exactly the same. And by a Yid going into Sukkah, he can replace a Gezeirus Golus that has been placed upon him, because the Sukkah can teach him, if he utilizes it properly, the Sukkah can teach him the limud of Golus. So of course, our internal Sukkahs, nice, warm, well fitted out, are absolutely fine, because we've got the roof from the Pseudos Gerim V'Yekev, which teach us this valuable lesson, the lesson of Golus. And nice Sukkah as well is no contradiction at all to this Psikta. This idea that Hashem Hu Elokim Einoid Mubadoi, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Melech Kol Olam, which is borne out by the mitzvah Sukkah, is also, I think, borne out by the mitzvah of Arba Minim. What do we do with the Arba Minim? We take the Arba Minim and we menanea the Arba Minim in all directions, says the Gemara in Sukkah. For Melech Hu Mevi Lemisha Arba Ruchoi Shaloi. We're Malo Merit Lemisha Shomayim Vaoret Shaloi. By shaking the Arba Minim in all directions, we are demonstrating that we believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Takish Kol HaRuchos Mubala Yechoves Kulam, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Melech Kol HaOlam, the Ribbono Shel Olam is absolute ruler of all spheres of this world. This is the same idea. Mr. Slulov also demonstrates to us that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in fact the one that is in absolute control. And Reb Chaim Friedlander goes on and he says that's why we read Megillat Keheles on Sukkah. Megillat Keheles deals with this concept that in actuality Hevel Havolim Hakoil Hevel, the only one that's in absolute control, the one that's in absolute control, the one that is the focus of the Bria, is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we ourselves have no actual koyach, as the Pasuk says, Kiloi Lekalim Amelus, not necessarily the fleet-footed ones that manage to run the quickest. Veloi the Giboyim HaMelchoma, is not the strong ones that win the wars. Veloi the Gamlein L'Chom Lechem, is not the wise ones who necessarily have Parnosa. Veloi L'Nevoyim Moshe, riches doesn't necessarily go to those who have got deep understanding. Havel, Avolim, Akhil, Hevel, the Ribbono Shel Olam in fact is the one that gives us what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to give us, and it's not our talents that bring us actually success. As it finishes off, Tzoy Tzov Akhil Nishmo, Esadakim Yorei, Esmosoy Tzoshmoy, Kirzeh Kol Ha'odom, Be'emetzim, the Ribbono Shel Olam is Adoyin Akhil, and we don't have any actual powers ourselves at all. Now turning back to Melchemet Gog u'Magog, perhaps we can use the same theme to explain the connection between Melchemet Gog u'Magog and Sukkot. In order to explain this, I'd like to quote a vort from Reb Sham Shel Pol Hirsch. Reb Sham Shel Pol Hirsch says Melchemet Gog u'Magog isn't just a physical war. Not just a physical war. It's a philosophical war. We take issue. We fight. We are fighting. We will fight the philosophies of Gog. Now, what are the philosophies of Gog? So the Shamsha Paul Hirsch as follows. Gog is Miloshin Gag. The philosophy of Gog is that I can place a roof over my head. I can look after myself. I can protect myself. I'm self-sufficient. There's no other power. mankind is the one and only power in this world, and mankind has the ability to take care of itself. Every individual can place a roof over their head to protect themselves. This is the philosophy of Goik. The Rav Shmuel Hirsch wrote the word Mogoik mean. The same as we have Oyer and Moir. Oyer is light, and Moir is the light that the light shines onto others. Goik and Mogoik is the philosophy of Gag, and Mogoik is their transmission of this philosophy to all and sundry. And this is the Muhammad which we fight, the Muhammad against atheism, the Muhammad that Hashem Hu Elokim, and this Muhammad Mirta Hashem Lasid Lavoi, we will win, and the whole world will learn that in actuality, the philosophy of Goig is bankrupt, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is in fact master of the whole world. When do we pick issue in the year with this philosophy of Goig, with this philosophy of Gag? The time when we take a real stand, and we take issue with this philosophy of Gag, is in Sukkot. We take the roof up from above our heads. We remove the roof as a demonstration that we believe that we cannot protect ourselves. We're not self-protecting. We place the Pesoilus Goyim V'Yekim above our heads to demonstrate that the only one that can protect us is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Mitzvot Hashem is a far greater protector than a solid roof above our heads. It's Sukkot, which is the one time in the year and an appropriate time after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where we take issue with the philosophy of Goyik, with atheism, with the idea that each and every person has control over their own destiny and can place a roof over their heads. And that is why Haftoras Goyik u'Mogoyik has a gewaltige shaychus with Chag HaSukkot, because it's on Sukkot where we actually spend 8 days taking issue with the philosophy of Goyik. Now, the truth is that this avoda, the avoda ki Hashem Elokim and Eidol Vadas, the avoda that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Melech, is an avoda which doesn't just start with Chag HaSukkot. That's in fact an avoda which goes right through Chodesh Tishri. Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, a very important part of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, is Malchus. Malchus. And we can see Bemetzin from Halacha how important Malchus is. As you know, in Aseret Yemei Teshuva, there are various additions that we have to make in the Tefillah. Zochrein Elohim, Micha Moicha, HaMelech HaKodesh, etc. Now, if somebody was to miss out Zochrein Elohim, doesn't need to repeat Shemoneh Esrei again. If you missed out Micha Moicha Avarachmim, doesn't need to repeat Shemoneh Esrei again. If you missed out HaMelech HaKodesh, he has to repeat Shemoneh Esrei again. Which shows us that in actuality, the focal part of Aseret Yemei Teshuva, the main point, is HaMelech HaKodesh, the idea of Malchus. In the closing moments of Yom HaKippurim, those vital moments, we don't shout Zochreinu L'chaim. We don't scream Chotonu, Ovinu, Poshanu. What do we say? We say B'Kri Rom, Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, Hashem U'Elekim, Hashem Melech. Because the main theme of the Yom Neroim is the idea of Malchus. So in actuality, this idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Melech is the avoda of Tishri. We start Rosh Hashanah, we work through Yom HaKippurim, and when it comes to Sukkot, then we don't only leave it to verbal Malchus, we actually do Maisim, and Maisim Shal Simcha, which comes after Yom Niron, to demonstrate that we believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Melech Kol Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is Tachat Kol Ruchos Ba'alei Yecholus Kulo. I'd like to tell you about Maisa, which demonstrates this idea. The Maisa took place in Bedichev many, many years ago. Aseret Yemei Teshuva, was a man, Teshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah. And the Yidden and Beditcher were very, very generous and gave to various charitable causes in the month of Tishri, in the times of Aseret Yemei Teshuva. There was a very, very choshva Gabbat Tzedakah, I forget his name. And he, it was his job to bring in the funds and distribute them correctly. Had a very, very successful Aseret Yemei Teshuva, distributed the funds. It was now Erev Yom HaKodesh in the afternoon. Everything had been done, everybody had been collected from, all the funds had been distributed, and he was making preparations to get ready for Yom HaKodesh for Yom HaKippur. Suddenly there was a knock on his door, and a woman, distraught, terribly upset, her husband had just been taken, like Amtsa Mice, been taken into captivity, and there was a price in order to redeem him. She begged him to try and do what he could to bring him out before Yom HaKodesh. he was in a quandary. He didn't know what to do because he'd already basically been to everybody in town. And this was supposed to mark. He suddenly remembered that there were unfortunately a group of youngsters who'd left, who'd strayed somewhat from the path of Yiddishkeit. They were quite wealthy, and he hadn't approached them at all. So he decided he had no choice, although it would be very uncomfortable, because the Rechevra relates him. But he decided he'd better go. It's the only way he can help this woman get her husband back and bring him out of the terrible conditions that he was trapped in at that present moment of life. He found them in the local tavern, in the pub, and he walked in there, and they started making a ton of him as soon as he walked in. What's the rabbi want? And he outlined the case. And they shushed between themselves. And they turned around and they said, Rabbi, he says, we'll give you that there was 2,000 ruble, we'll give you the 2,000 ruble without a problem. But there's one condition. And they brought out a huge amount of whiskey. And they said, if you drink all that, then you've got your money. So he knew that if he drank all that, he'd be absolutely out. I mean, it was a huge amount, and he was somebody who wasn't at all experienced in drinking whiskey, so he knew it would go straight to his head. But he thought, what's the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me at this time? True, I'll be drunk when Yom HaKodesh comes in, I'll be busy with Zionis, but on the other hand, Pidyon Shvuyim is Voschosh by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I've got to do Rotzon HaBoreh, even if it makes a mockery of me. And he agreed to the conditions, but he made two conditions himself. He says, number one, I won't be able to affect the pidyon myself. Once I've drunk that, I'm going to be finished. So do you promise me that if I do so, you will actually make it your business to affect the pidyon to free this gentleman? Agreed. What's the second condition? That you carry me to shul because I won't be able to walk there. So please carry me there for kol nidre. Okay, they agreed to the conditions. He drank it and within seconds he was out cold. And they did what they were told and they freed this captive and brought him home. And they carried him to shul and laid him on the back bench in shul. And the Elam came in, it was busy doing this, and anybody who had a sense of smell could immediately detect what exactly was going on. And that's absolute busy doing. He was asleep, he was oblivious, but they started the Kol Nidre, they opened on our Kodesh, brought out a couple of Sifrei Torah, and he suddenly woke up and came round. He looks up and he sees on our Kodesh open. And in his drunken state, he decided it was Simchas Torah. He said, "Geshrim b'koyl rom," and the Simchas Torah ligan atah reisur adas ki Hashem olekim ein oid milvada. The whole shul was in uproar, in the middle of the amphitheater of Kol Nidre, kum de shikera, the gavet stoker, and they hate on the Simchas Torah, and they want to throw him out. He'd immediately fallen back to sleep. They want to bodily lift him out. But the Ditchlis Rebbe said no. So we spend the whole Tishri trying to reach the Madrega and the full understanding that Atah Reisur Adas Ki Hashem Olekim Ein Oid Milvadai. That is the avoida of Tishri. Hopefully, by the time we get to Simchas Torah, we will be able to say with sincerity, after Rosh Hashanah, with the Yom Kippur, with the sitting in the Sukkah, with the Arba Minim, we'll hope to be able to say with sincerity, Ki Hashem Hu Olekim Ein Oid Milvadai. Tender Shem Zokin. Their Yid, on the Erev Yom HaKodesh, Halshem by the Madrega, Hashem Hu Elekim Einoid Milvadei. And this brings out that this is the Emerson, the Avoida of Chodesh Tishri. It starts with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in Malchias, and it follows through to Sukkah, Goygumogay Kehelet, and that takes us through, hopefully, by the time it comes to Simchas Torah, this will impress upon us the Musik, will have impressed upon us with sincerity, Ato Reis Vadaf, Hashem Hu Elekim Einoid Milvadei. And the truth is that coming to the realization that Eidai Mulvadai, the Hashem Melech, is a gewaltige source of protection for us. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Shiviti Hashem, the Negdi Somit, Kimi Mini Balemoit. And the Gaon explains that through the Shiviti Hashem, the Negdi Somit, by coming to the realization that the Ribbono Shel Olam is constantly there, and is constantly at our side, we will be Zoicha to the Kimi Mini Balemoit. So the Gaon, to the greater that we reach the realization, Shviti Hashem Lelech Yisomit, the greater the Mimini Balamoit will be. As it says, Hashem Tzilcho, Al Yad Yiminecho, Ribbono Shel Olam, the Fatayt Hashem Tzilcho, the Ribbono Shel Olam shadows our carriers to Him. The closer we are to Him, the closer He will be to us. Hashem Tilcha al Yad Yiminecha, that if the Maisa were close to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then mirrors that in his Eimet L'Yodeinu. Well known, Chaim Beloshna says, if somebody's number, Munash Shlema Shinehid Mavadoi, Hashem is Matzaloisa Mikol Ra. So we're to utilize the opportunity of Chag HaSukkah, which follows the Yom Neroim, to try to come to the realization through the Sukkah, through the Abamim, through the various Kriyas, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, Einoid Mavadoi, and through that, because Hashem will be Zeicha to Yeshua, to Nechomet, to Zayin Takagut Yom Tzis.